Good morning. I'm Amy Holmes. I'm in with Catherine Lamfer, and we're here in for John Hockenberry. So this afternoon, President Obama will be in Phoenix, Arizona to address 13,000 veterans. It should be a pretty big moment.
Wow. Is this going to be like another town hall meeting on health care?
Well, we'll see if these veterans are a little bit more, well-mannered than some of the others in addressing their commander-in-chief. But first, let's hear what you had to say about health care.
Hi, this is Ron from Mattapoisett. Having been in the healthcare business for 30 years, I can tell you that the president's program will not work, primarily because if we all agree that the healthcare financing mechanism is broken today, to simply expand coverage to the population on essentially the same platform makes no sense.
A lot of thoughts there. Please give us a call. Let us know your take on the president's plan, possibly a public option, possibly not. Is it a trial balloon? Is it backpedaling? What do you think? Joining us is Washington Examiner reporter Julie Mason. She's back this morning to talk about what vets can expect to hear from the president this afternoon. We also have two veterans with us here in the studio this morning. We thank you so much for being here. Kristen Rouse, she's a veteran of the war in Afghanistan and a first lieutenant in the Army National Guard. We also have Bruce Smith, who is a naval petty officer during the Vietnam War. Welcome to you all. But first, Julie, I want to start with you. What can we expect to hear from the president as he addresses these 13,000 veterans in Phoenix?
Well, the president, we've been talking about health care. He's been talking about health care. He's really going to shift gears. He's going to talk about America's obligation to returning warriors, and especially the war in Afghanistan, which isn't going well, which has lost a lot of public support. And they have a big election there in Afghanistan this week. So he's really going to shift focus and talk about those kinds of things. He also has a lot of making up to do with veterans who have not been happy with him at all.
Explain that for us.
Well, there were a couple of things. Early in his administration, the administration floated an idea to require veterans to pay for some of their service-related injuries through their own private insurers. And veterans were very unhappy about this. They felt the government should pay. And it never went anywhere, but it did leave a lot of bad feelings. And then more recently, I think you may recall, Homeland Security Secretary Janet Napolitano had to apologize for a report that her agency issued warning that some returning veterans from Iraq and Afghanistan were at risk for becoming domestic terrorists. And that sat in a very bad way with veterans. So Obama comes in, not a friendly group. Many of them voted for John McCain. So he's really got a lot of making up to do with this organization, the VFW.
Well, we have two veterans here who can share their views about this. Kristen, as a veteran, what do you hope to hear from President Obama this afternoon?
Well, I think given the moment in time right now with the Afghan elections coming up this week, I think now is the perfect time for President Obama to be articulating clearly what we're doing in Afghanistan and why it matters for our national security. A veterans organization like the VFW, I think it's the largest organization of war veterans. And, the military as a group of people, it's our job to execute policy without question. The VFW is like our big brothers and big sisters who can speak back to the commander-in-chief and to Congress and hold them accountable for what they do with the military and what they do with returning veterans from all conflicts.
Hey, Julie made this sound like a tough crowd later today. How accurate is that, do you think?
It may be. I really couldn't tell you. I think that there's a lot of diversity amongst veterans. And I don't think it's fair to say that, that veterans are Republican or veterans are Democrat or veterans are veterans. And they represent the citizens that they were drawn from, and so there's going to be a lot of varying opinions. But I hope that his welcome at the VFW is a warm one because he is the commander in chief. And as such, agree or disagree, he's entitled to that respect.
Well, Kristen, we have one of the big brothers that you were talking about here. Bruce, you're a veteran of the Vietnam War. And I understand health care is something that you really hope the president addresses. Can you talk about that?
Oh, absolutely. Well, health care goes right alongside of the problem of homelessness. And the health care issues for veterans, we've all heard of the systemic problems at Walter Reed and other issues with my younger brothers and sisters coming home. And as anyone who's paid any attention over the last 40 years knows, this is not a new problem. This is something that was chronic during the Vietnam era and it still continues to be addressed. One of the first things that I think that he needs to do is to address the fact that there is a lot of, I want to say noise, but that was what I would say. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to convince veterans that the VA will change its policies, that there will be differences in the benefits and services as a result of any kind of healthcare change that does transpire. And the White House website has debunked that. But there are strong forces trying to convince veterans that that's a problem. And as far as the VA is concerned, I mean the VFW, there are, I would say the majority of the VFW are my age or perhaps even older. I mean, frankly, I never wanted to be in part of it because it was so, it seemed like a, an old boys club that didn't really want younger members who had different ideas. And so a lot of these guys are either baby boomers like me or, you know, the proudest or the greatest generation, and their health problems are increasing. So if they're fearful that their VA coverage is being affected by any kind of health care change, it all ties it up into a scary package.
So, Kristen, as a member of the military, you're in what could be considered a socialized medicine program in that you get all of your medical care from the government. What are the strengths and weaknesses of that?
Well, in the National Guard, I do not receive health care through, yeah, through the National Guard unless I am actually on orders and I'm serving in uniform, which is, you know, on a part-time basis. But when I was on active duty, I did receive excellent health care. I was active duty at Fort Drum, New York, and, you know, during my time in service, I had excellent health care providers, and it was very easy. I just, if I was sick, I went to the clinic, and they, you know, there's, you know, there's problems just like anywhere, but for the most part, I received very excellent care, and I never had to worry about it.
Bruce, would you agree with that, that there are lessons to be learned from how the military handles health care that can be applied to the general population?
Absolutely. From a very personal point of view, I mean, I'm aware of the chronic problems that I addressed a minute ago there, but on a personal basis, I've been cared for with nothing but the utmost respect. I almost got a little emotional, but I had a heart attack last year, and the VA took care of me exquisitely, and they continue to do so here in Manhattan. And so the things like, for example, medical records within a computer system, the VA's had that down for a long time. And we're still trying to figure out the hand scratches of doctors and the problems and even deaths that that can that causes. So the VA has a lot to teach. You know, certainly, they're not perfect at all, but they have a lot to teach the regular civilian medical care.
We're talking to Kristen Rouse, first lieutenant in the Army National Guard and a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, and Bruce Smith, naval petty officer. But Bruce, one other question about this, that the military, a large part of their budget goes towards health care. It's very expensive to provide this level of health care. Do you think that that really can be extended to every American citizen?
I don't think there's a question. If you put somebody in uniform and you put them in a place where they either have to kill or be killed, and they are serving our country, we all hear that phrase, then you have to deal with the problems that ensue. And if you aren't prepared to do that, then don't put them in harm's way.
So, Kristen, coming back to you, this afternoon with President Obama, what, say, top two things can he do to win more veteran support?
I think his most important job is to address the current policy in Afghanistan, because I think veterans, you know, of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars, as well as past veterans, really need to know what are we doing and why are service members being asked to, you know, to put their lives at stake, and, you know, why are their families being asked to sacrifice what they are, you know, for this Afghanistan policy. And it's an important selling point for him to very clearly articulate that, also to, say the name of PFC Bo Bergdahl, who is still being held prisoner by the Taliban, and he needs to say that name and let people know, let America know that soldier is not forgotten.
That sounds like the takeaway from the speech, in fact, that this name that so many of us don't know should be framed in the speech today.
I personally believe so. There's a lot of value statements that he needs to make about Afghanistan.
Interesting. Thank you. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your service to our country, more importantly. You are listening to Kristen Rouse, first lieutenant in the Army National Guard and a veteran of the war in Afghanistan, and Bruce Smith, naval petty officer during the Vietnam War. Julie, really quickly at the very end, what did you make of what you just heard? Can President Obama make real inroads this afternoon?
Well, he can certainly try. A big problem Obama faces is there's just no money. You know, everyone agrees that veterans deserve the best care that this government can provide them, but the government is pretty much out of money.
Well, we want to hear what you think as you're listening to The Takeaway. Thank you all for joining us. And that was Julie Mason, White House reporter for The Washington Examiner. Thank you.
I'm so impressed that the takeaway that we got from Kristen is here is the name of this soldier. I need to hear that name in this speech. Now we know what to listen out for.
Now we do indeed.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.